Well, get your Bibles out. Romans chapter 1. Romanos. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I was telling Dwayne just a while ago that air conditioning contractor was on the job this weekend. And he walks up to me and he says, "So you're a preacher, huh?" So I didn't know what. I've only met the guy once before, and so I didn't know what was going to come up. And I wasn't in too good of a mood. And I said, "Yeah, so what?" And he said, "I'm Pentecostal." And I said, "Well, glory." And he said, "We believe in speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire, and baptizing in the name of Jesus." And I said, "Well, hallelujah, brother. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Boy, he wasn't ashamed. He told me exactly what his theology was in 1 second. Matter of fact, went on, he was UPC, you know, so United Pentecostals are even, you know, ew, man, they ain't cut no slack nowhere. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks." Now, I was preaching this message on Sunday, and then I was reading this and seeing how it all tied together about about Paul told the church at Ephesus not to get into the futility of their minds, like the Gentiles do, right? Don't begin to think, have thoughts of no purpose. Not just negative thoughts, not just thoughts of the devil, not just the thoughts from the pit of hell that come into your life and tell you that you're not going to make it and you're all that stuff, right? Not just those thoughts. You know that you can sit around and take thoughts about being sick and you're going to get sick. Come on now. There's one thing about just being sick. There's another thing to think yourself sick. Hello? Catching a cold. There you go. Got up there and caught it. What'd you want to catch a cold for? Leave it alone. Let that one pass by. It'd be a good one to miss, right? Don't catch the cold. Let it go by. Taking sick. He said, there's a thinking, there's a thought process that is of no purpose, right? It's bad enough to be of a negative purpose. There's another one that's of no purpose. It's futile. It's not going to get you anywhere. Thinking about it is not going to do anything for you. That's what the point he was trying to make. Now here he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of Christ." You got to understand, to the Jewish nation who'd been trying to live under the bondage of Jesus, under the bondage of the law, thank you, under the bondage of the law, when Jesus came about, was freedom, it was liberty. It was like, man, you mean the rules and the regulations we've been trying to keep, we don't have to keep those anymore because it's faith in Jesus, and it was liberating, it was victorious, right? So the good news message was, hey, Jesus is here, he's alive, he's the Son of God, he's making the way. He's made a way for salvation. He's made a way to go into heaven. He's made a way that the partitions and the walls could be torn down. You could boldly go into the throne room of God. Folks, you got to understand, we have such stinking religious thinking in us that we can only go to the throne if we've done it right. Only if we're acceptable. Well, there's no acceptance that we can do on this earth. There's nothing that we can do in our works and our goodness. I mean, we should be good and we should do works, but none of that is going to get you in the key that opens the door that gets you into heaven, that has an open heaven over your life, that the heavens of brass are gone and that the glory of God comes in there. That's only by the blood of Jesus. And he said that believing in Christ or in that message of the Messiah is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In other words, the power of God and salvation is released in your life, or the power of God is released in your life based upon, again, what you think. Hello? What you think, what you're... Now, I know that the word believing there means more than just thought, mental process, but he's talking about what is the core essence of you, what's going through your mind, what's going through your thinking, because really what's in your heart is what you're going to be thinking about. Am I right? Really what's in your heart is what you're going to be thinking about. If you're having to talk yourself into happy, you know, then really there's sadness in your heart. If you're having to talk yourself into believing that God's going to do something. Now, I grant it, there's times in my life I look. That's why it was such a, that what I was saying just a minute ago was good, because, you know, you're flying in an airplane and you're surrounded by clouds. You can't see anything. That pilot has to fly by instrument. Right? He can't fly by visual. He can't fly VFR. He can't fly by what he sees. He's got to fly IFR, instrument. He's got to fly by what the instrument says, what it says right there, what he says, what he's looking at, right? Now, what's funny about pilots that I've noticed, and I've been in any small planes or helicopters like that, they like to thump their gauges. That makes me a little unsettled when they reach up there and go thump 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 thump, and I say, what are you doing? I said, I just want to make sure the needle's not stuck, you know, it's giving me the proper reading. So then that makes me think, then there's a possibility it couldn't be telling us wrong, right? But normally they love to do that. They just ride driving along flying along, and thump thump thump, see if that gauge works, right? But they got to fly by the instrument. They got to fly by what it's saying. They've got to go by. Well, it's like a Christian. We have got to look into the Word. We've got to be looking into this Word as our instrument of telling us where we're going and that we're going the right direction. Hello? This is really good. Right? We got to look at it. We got to see it. We got to keep staying in the Word. We got to keep our eyes here. Because when we get off and say, oh, God, I can't see anything. Man, you're going to crash. This past week, I met a bush pilot in Guatemala. About as salty as they come. But if I was having to get flown somewhere, I'd want this guy behind the wheel. I mean, I don't know that he even knew how to read an instrument, but he knew how to fly a plane, right? And the guy that was with me was 4 years. He was the civil aviated administrator over all the airports and everything they did. And he told me, he said, that's the best bush pilot that he's ever seen or known in life. And so there was a plane crash in the Honduras, between Honduras and Guatemala on the border, and so this guy, he was very colorful, and so he was in there, and his father was from Texas and his mother was Guatemala, and they've been living in Guatemala most of his life. So he speaks English with a Spanish accent, but he's a gringo, you know, and so or half. Anyway, so they ask him, the other man who was a civil aviator over the administration asked him, said, did you, man, what happened? You know, because they knew exactly the place where he's flying into, and they'd flown in there, because this other man was a bush pilot too, and in his younger days. And so they knew exactly where they're going, and they knew where all, and he said, how could he have missed that approach? He said, man, there's a huge mountain there. And he said, what happened? And he says, he forgot his drilling equipment. And I said, what? You know, his drilling equipment. He missed. He tried to go through the mountain. I said, man, that's terrible. So yeah, I didn't have the drilling equipment. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't it funny? That illustration hit me later. I was thinking about it. And I said, isn't it funny? You know, we can be faced with a mountain in life, but God will give us the drilling equipment and we can't go through. Just because there's a mountain in front of us, just because there's an obstacle in front of us, we just have to have the right equipment to go through it, right? And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So that means the power of God is available to everybody, but they're not believing. Hello? Everybody, it's got it. Could be anybody, right? The salvation of God could come upon anybody if they would just turn their thinker on, turn their faith on, turn their believer on, and go that direction. Hello? Then he goes on, he says, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they know what the truth is, because if you're going to suppress the truth, you'd have to know what the truth is to suppress it. Right? You can't suppress something you don't know that you're suppressing unless you just fell on it or sat on it or something, right? You're just in the way. But if you're going to suppress the truth, you have to know what the truth was to suppress it. So that means you know God's real, but you don't want him to be real, because if he's real, then it means something's got to change in your life and you don't really want it to change. So therefore, you suppress the truth. Right? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God is showing it to them. So in other words, what you believe and what you have happen in life and what you're believing in life, that when you believe it and you walk in it, then it begins to manifest in your life. Cracks me up in Guatemala. It's not in Mexico, but it's in Guatemala. The word not necessarily a riot, but like a political demonstration or something that's, you know, aggressive, not a riot like throwing Molotov cocktails and tearing the buildings down, but an uprising. In Guatemala, they call them manifestaciones. In other words, manifestations. Like the people are manifesting. It don't fit in our vernacular, right? To say, everybody's out there, you know, them people are manifesting. Yeah, we can't go down to the city because they're manifesting down on the street. I'm like, manifesting in the street? What do you mean manifesting in the street? But in the Greek here is translated, and he says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, or becomes, in other words, what you're believing and what you're thinking actually literally becomes a manifestation of God. He begins to appear. You begin to see. Right? Because of what you're believing. You're believing in God, you're trusting in him, and all of a sudden he begins to manifest in you. Hello? So again, what you're thinking is going to manifest. So if you're thinking on fear, fear is going to manifest. If you're thinking on anger or hate, hate's going to manifest. Anger is going to manifest. Right? If you're thinking on envious, if you're thinking on envy, then, you know, greed's going to manifest, or however you work, you know, whatever. Right? So your manifestación right? Could be good or bad, depending on what you're thinking. Now, let's just put this, because I know you all are such saintly, unbelievably godly people, you probably have never seen this or had this happen to you before. But I've heard tell. I've heard tell that if you dwell on something that, such as anger or whatever, that I've heard tell that if you dwell on it long enough, you will become angry. And that you may take action. I've just heard this is what happens. I've never seen it actually, or experienced it, but. You know, in my early days of ministry, and I read all of the books by Kenneth Hagin, and just blessed me in life. And he always cracked me up. He used to always say this, and I've got to go to several of his conferences and listen to him speak before he went on to heaven. And he'd always say, well, just bless their darling little hearts. Somebody's just doing something really stupid, and he'd just say, I just bless their darling little hearts. And, you know, I'm not there yet. I don't always want to bless their darling little hearts. I've worked on it. But I do know what you think on and what you dwell on is going to cause a manifestación in your life. Hello? So Paul's saying here, he's saying, look, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and then they began to manifest. And it says, for since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying, look, everything around us, everything there is, air, this world, the stars, gravity, all of this is a manifestation that God is real. Skip, what is just you telling me the other day about Sunday? We're not doing that. We're talking about that. And Ann was talking about NASA and all the astrophysicists and all the doctors of everything and this and that and the other, that as they had studied the world and studied the creation, studied all the things of the stars and everything, that so many of them became Christians because they saw, man, this is God. And nothing could do this but God. Right? That's what he's saying there. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So in other words, our thinking, look at 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So he said, there's a way that can happen in your life that your thought process can become so wrong that you begin to want to reduce God to your thinking. So we'd never do that. But we do when our actions believe that God's not going to do something for us because we didn't do anything, we didn't do good enough or whatever. We're reducing God to the way that our father would have treated us or our mother would have treated us. We're reducing God to a parent, not a God. Right? Hello. We're just reducing God to a parent. Because we're not flying IFR, we're flying VFR. We're flying by what we can see and what we can look at and what we can think. We're not flying by what the instrument says, the Word of God. We're flying by what we see is out there. We can't do it. We have to fly looking at the instrument, continually looking at the instrument, continually building our faith, strengthening our faith. Tap on the instrument a little bit if you want to make sure it's working. That's okay. Hello? Because you want to see, you want to keep your eyes on the instrument. Because when you look out at the clouds, man, there is nothing to me a stranger feeling than to be in an airplane and start descending down through the clouds. And you know, all of a sudden you're looking up and it's bright and sunny. And then you just go through the clouds, whoosh. And then you're in the middle of the clouds and you're thinking, oh God, can we ever see? That's what I'm thinking. Where's the ceiling? This pilot we were talking to, he said, yeah. They said, how was the flying this morning? They're talking, these two pilots together. And he says, it wasn't too bad. The ceilings were 1,000 feet. And he said, wow. He said, you flew in that? And I'm thinking, 1,000 feet? Sounds like a pretty good deal, 1,000 feet. He said, well, not when there's mountains that are 6,000 feet. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then, in other words, he flew when he could see, went up, went through the clouds, depended on the instruments and everything to be right, so that when he came back down through the clouds, that he wouldn't need drilling equipment. And so I said to him, I said, well, how do you do that if, you know, I mean, you know, about your instruments and everything. He said, I said, sometimes we can find just a hole in the cloud. We'll just turn real sharp and go down through it. Now, you got to understand, the mountains in Guatemala, you know, they're jagged, steep peaks. So you got to have your eyes on the instrument. Don't make any difference when you take off, you can see. Doesn't make any difference when you get above the clouds, you can see. There's sometimes you're going to change your altitude in life, and you're going to be in those clouds, and you've got to fly looking at the Word. Amen? For this reason, God gave them over to vile passion, for even the women exchanged the natural uses of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving their natural use for a woman, burned with lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So in other words, they had to know God if they didn't want to retain God. They had to acknowledge and serve that what they were doing was wrong. Right? Okay. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they were whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors. You know, say he says boasters in the middle of all of that? Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning. Huh? Wait a minute. Now we threw undiscerning in the middle of evil-mindedness and murder and covetousness. Untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The point is that a mind not stayed on the Word is going to just find a more wickedness and more wickedness and more wickedness to go into. That it's only going to get worse. It can't get better. You with me? A mind that's not stayed watching the Word, a mind that's not sit with his eyes on God, it's not there watching and flying by the instrument of the Word, it's only going to get worse. The clouds are only going to get thicker. Now, I was told the strangest thing this past week on this flying trip. These pilots, they were saying that there was only two pilots in all of Guatemala that could fly helicopters IFR. And I said, well, why is it so difficult to fly a helicopter by instruments? And he said to me, because you can't tell if you're flying up or down, up right side or up, which side you're flying. I said, well, I think if you turned this sucker over, I could tell I was flying upside down. And he said, no, he says, in a helicopter, it gets so strange and confusing. He says, you can actually have everything in the whole helicopter upside down and not realize that you're flying upside down. And you just run right into a mountain. Because you get so disoriented in the clouds, because it's not like the same as a cockpit on a airplane. You're surrounded by it. And he says, you get so disoriented in it. He said, you have to just look at the gauges. That's right. Said you had to do it. And when he was saying all this, and I was been reading this, and it was just boiling around on the inside of me, I was like, my God, the whole key in life to flying is to learn how to fly IFR by what the Word says. How to keep your mind and your attention on the Word, no matter what's going on around you and your surroundings, to keep your attention. Well, that's not what the Word says. God said, you know, you feel alone. You feel like God's not with you. He said, well, I can't listen to my emotion, because the Word says, God said, he'd never leave me or forsake me. He's not going to leave me or forsake me. The devil comes to you and says, you're not saved. You're going to go to hell. I say, well, Father, I just believe in your name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. Okay, there we go. I'm fine. I'm clean. Y'all with me? There's the times in life that the surroundings around you are going to tell you that it's not right. Your feelings, your emotions, your whatever's going to be around you. And you're going to say, well, I don't understand. We're not going right. This doesn't seem right. But you got to stay on the Word. You got to stay focused on the Word. Hello? What'd I say? GFR. I like that. See, if IFR, VFR, and GFR, God's flight rules. Wait, why didn't you tell me this before? It'd have been so much better in the tape, and you lost the message now. Flying, GFR. Amen? So wherever you are, just get your instruments out. Get the instrument out. You say, if you have the symptom of this or that, find it in the Word. What does it say about that? What does God say about those matters? What does God say about those things? Now, the other thing I'll say, and I'll close right here, is that the thing I like is like if a plane's taken off, it always seems like this in Houston. It's kind of mizzly and gray and, y'all with me? It's kind of nasty and ugly. And then you're just flying along and the plane takes off and you're just going along there and you kind of see all the nasty, wet. And then all of a sudden you just go up there and the next thing you know is the clouds are all kind of gray and then you look out the windows and all of a sudden they start turning white and they start getting real bright and all of a sudden, poof, you pop up and you're above the clouds and the sun's shining up there. Don't you get the feeling sometimes when it's overcast and cloudy that it's like that to the stars? Huh? But if you just got up past it, you just got up there to whatever that cloud level was, 20,000 feet or wherever it's at. What are clouds at? I guess that depends on what's going on, but, whatever it was, 10,000 feet, whatever. Poosh, you break through. Man, it's a whole other world up there. Now, I like that. I don't like going the other way. I don't like coming from the bright, shiny down through the deal and then you get down to the, I don't like it. It just doesn't feel right. It's yucky. Right? So that's the way we got to be, knowing that, man, it's kind of nasty, but whoosh, we're going to get above it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.